Going to be talking about a whole new concept in health. We're going to be talking about unions and labor organizations. My guest this morning is my good friend Michael Goodwin, the international president of the Office and Professional Employees International Union, AFL-CIO. Good morning, my friend Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. We could talk, you and I, about, everything under the sun. There isn't anything we haven't talked about over the years.
Well, that's right.
I think I'd love to take this opportunity. I've told this story about, why I'm a union member for about 15, 16 years right now. But I'm thinking to myself, I've never heard you tell that story. Would you tell our listeners briefly about how we met and what this is all about?
Well, I'll be happy to. As you said, we met about 14, 15 years ago. And an idea was put forth that podiatrists could use additional legislative support in their efforts to battle Title 19 issues and state scope issues and so forth. And so Dr. John Mattiacci, who is a podiatrist in Pennsylvania, he's also the president of the guild. He works at Temple University, the School of Podiatric Medicine.
He's the dean of Temple University
School of Podiatric Medicine. He is the dean. You are correct. Dean John. He's just a wonderful guy, and he said, let's go for it. Let's do it. And so we started to organize podiatrists. And it seems like yesterday, all those years ago, Mike, but I remember you standing right there with mm-hmm. me. The only two that I can think of right now that are still very active are you and Mattiacci.
Me and John. We're the old-timers. Yeah. I think the first time I met you was the day of that press conference.
It was. And I was so thrilled to go to the New York Podiatric Medical Association.
I was president of the organization at the time. Nice office on Fifth Avenue. John had asked if we could use the office. In fact, the New York podiatrists were not members of the guild then. It was just Pennsylvania.
That's right.
And you came over to me glowing, and I'll never forget this, and you pointed out, you said, see that young man over there? A short little guy with glasses on. He said, that's Steve Greenfield? Greenhouse?
Yeah, Greenhouse.
Greenfield, I think.
Greenhouse.
And I said, who is he? You said, oh, he's the chief medical writer for the New York Times.
Yeah.
I said, oh, wow. All the cameras were there. It was pretty interesting. I'd never been to an event like that before. Then lo and behold, the next morning I buy my coffee and spilled it all over my lap when I see on the bottom right-hand column of the New York Times, podiatrists join national union,
yes,
fight against HMOs.
Yes.
You sent me the copy of that New York Times front page.
Yeah.
It's in my office, proudly displayed. And that's how we met. And it's been an incredible journey and one that's unfolding every day.
Well, you're right. I just want to touch on that a little bit because it was such an exciting day.
Oh, my goodness.
We called the press conference, and as you said, the New York Medical Association Podiatric allowed us to use their offices. And Steve Greenhouse did show up, and he was there with great interest. I was told that the New York Times was going to do a story, but never in my wildest dreams had any idea that we were going to knock out Begin and Sadat and all the other world figures of the day that normally get that right side of the New York Times front page.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know that to get the front page of the New York Times is quite remarkable.
Quite remarkable.
And I said to my wife, Patricia, I said, Pat, would you mind running out in the morning, because she rises earlier than I do, and get a copy of the New York Times, because I think there's going to be a story somewhere in the paper. And she came running in, and she said, Mike, you won't believe it. Front page story. And the reason why I think it made the front page is because it is an interesting story to be told. Because here are doctors of podiatry, professional employees that are independent contractors, that suddenly decided that they needed more. They needed more assistance. They needed legislative help. And they looked to the union for that help. And we were there. And they took the bold step of being one of the first professional groups, independent contractor groups, to look to a union for help. And that's why it was newsworthy. And that's why Steve Greenhouse found so much interest in it.
And it's not as though John and I, as respective leaders of our state podiatry associations, hadn't been working for many years prior within our state associations, within our national. It was a little bit rocky with our national at the time, but there were so many issues unfolding so rapidly. And it was John and I guess our friend Mike Davis in their intuitiveness that took this idea and ran with it. It's been kind of a rocky road. I guess we've got about 9 or 10 states now of podiatrists that are our members.
Yes.
And we've been working very hard and diligently with the state associations and the national to solve some of the problems. Because like you say, you represent workers. And, you know, yes, I'm an independent contractor. I don't have a boss that I report to. But yet when I talk to other doctors and they say, why are you in a union? Or when I talk to the people at the Central Labor Council meetings and they say, why are you here? You don't work for someone else. I said, oh, but of course I do. I've got about 400 different employers that I work for, and that's the insurance industry.
Yeah.
And you know as well as I do that we don't have a lot of rights and a lot of bargaining power with a lot of those folks. Here's the deal, Doc. Take it or leave it. If you don't take it, we'll give it to the next guy.
Well, that's right. And the insurance companies have been so dominant in the last 15 years in just plowing over everybody. You know, I'll just use the example of a provider in my town who would get, you know, the old indemnity programs, a fee for service, and it was 80% of usual and customary. And so the fee was $80 for the provider. The insurance companies came in and said, we're not going to pay you $80 anymore. You either take the $37 that we offer, or we're not going to drive any patients into your offices anymore. So everyone was just blackmailed, so to speak, into joining these groups and cutting their fees in half. And what that's resulted in is all of the providers, including podiatrists, have had to work twice as hard to make a living. And that affects quality of care, because a podiatrist that might have previously spent 25 minutes with a patient now can only afford 12 minutes based on the fee structure. So you have to handle twice as many patients during the day. And that's not good for the patient. It's not good for the podiatrist. It's not good for the provider. It's not good for anybody. It's only good for the insurance company.
It's not quality care. Just the other day, that concept came up again, usual and customary fees. And boy, I love that. Yeah. And I say to my patient, well, you know what? That's a concept that was brought upon us by the insurance industry. That's usual and customary, but I don't know where on God's earth that's usual and customary. Maybe Zimbabwe is where they're working for those fees, but it's not usual and customary in Orange County. That's not what they're paying, but of course the patient here is usual and customary, and Doc, you got to accept that. And you know what, Mike? I've gotten to the point, like a lot of us, we've said, you know what? We'll take it when we have to take it, but on some of these services, I'm sorry, Mrs. Smith, I'm not going to provide that. And if you want that, you go find yourself a doctor who's going to work for that usual and customary, because that doesn't happen. Stay tuned. We're going to have another three quarters of an hour with this wonderful guest. We're going to talk about a lot of good topics. 651-1110. If you've got a question, we'll be right back.
There's a disease that strikes 2,200 Americans every day. The disease has no cure and is so serious that complications can even result in amputation of lower limbs. Over 17 million people in our country are affected by the disease, yet many don't know the symptoms and don't know that they have it. The disease is diabetes. If you've been diagnosed with diabetes or suspect that you are at risk, don't wait. See a podiatrist, a foot care professional who can prevent serious problems before it's too late. Diabetes is responsible for 87,000 and lower limb amputations each year. The key to preventing amputations is early detection and regular foot screenings from a podiatrist. Be sure to check your feet each and every day for skin color changes, slow healing cuts and sores, swelling or redness. And remember, it's what you can't feel that can hurt you. If you notice any symptoms, please contact a podiatrist right away. For more information about diabetes, call 1-866-996-4400 or visit www.nyspma.org on the web.
Honey, can you grab that box for me?
Sure.
Oh, you're back again.
And my neck.
You have to go see a doctor.
Well, you know how hard it is for me to take a day off of work and go to the city for an appointment. And what if I need surgery?
But we don't have to go to the city. Nancy said her husband had his spine surgery nearby at Orange Regional Medical Center. And now he's feeling great.
If you have back or neck pain, skip the hassle of traveling to the city. Specialists at Orange Regional Medical Center are performing the same surgeries and procedures that take place at the nation's leading spine care centers. Orange Regional offers an experienced surgical team skilled at minimally invasive spine procedures for a fast, comfortable recovery.
So do you want me to make an appointment?
Well, Orange Regional can help, so it sounds like a plan.
Good. And when you're back to your old self, I've got a basement full of boxes.
Great.
For more information about Orange Regional's advanced spine surgery program, call 1-888-321-6762 or visit ormcspineortho.org.
Ever since I started asking if you're sleeping with a dip in your bed, I've been getting a lot of people telling me that they're also hanging around with dips in their sofas and dips in their recliners too. Hi, this is Keith Millspaugh of Millspaugh Furniture of Walden, Poughkeepsie, and Warwick. If you're surrounded by dips in your life, or if it's just time to replace some furniture, I'm here to tell you that Millspaugh Furniture is celebrating our 153rd anniversary. A number of our suppliers are giving us discounts for a limited time that we're passing on to you. If your home needs a furniture change, or if those dips are really getting to you, now is the time to shop Millspaugh Furniture for extra savings. Sturdy, elegant, comfortable, timeless, that's Millspaugh Furniture, where for 153 years we've been providing the Hudson Valley with a better quality choice of furniture built to the standards of our founder, T.L. Millspaugh. Hurry in and save while eliminating the dips you share your home with during our 153rd anniversary sale that's going on now. That's Millspaugh Furniture, offering non-disposable furniture and mattresses since 1858.
Once a month, an experienced professional from Provident Bank, the Hudson Valley's leading full-service community bank, will answer your most pressing financial questions only here on WTBQ. Tune in the first Wednesday of every month at 8.05 a.m. for Straight Talk from Provident Bank. WTBQ.
Welcome back to Health Matters. Dr. Mike Wadka with you. My guest is my good friend Michael Goodwin, the international president of OPEIU. That's the Office and Professional Employees International Union, a union that I've been a member of, dues-paying member of, since 1995. And we've done a lot of good things. You know, it's a constant battle, you know. People have such prejudices against unions. Maybe let's touch on that for a minute. You know, they think that unions are all liberal Democrats. We're all just, you know, focused on one agenda. And as I've learned going into the triennial meetings for the last 10, 12 years, that's not necessarily so. People have a lot of misconceptions. Let's get that out of the way. Let's tell people exactly what they are, what they aren't.
Yeah, well, that's right. And they think the unions are tied to the Democrats. We're not tied to Democrats or Republicans, per se. We're tied to people that will help our members, and that's the only criteria we need. If there's a politician that say, I will support podiatry, and he's a Republican, then we'll support him, too. Hmm. All that we want to do is make sure that our members are getting the best possible assistance that they can from our political structure. And a good example of that is Title 19.
Sure, that's a big one.
Let me just, for your listening audience, just explain that what Title 19 is that when Medicare was established in the 1960s, podiatrists were recognized as physicians, you know, under the federal law, but not under Medicaid. They were left out of Medicaid. And what that resulted in is improper payment of reimbursements and fees to podiatrists. And so the podiatry profession has been trying to perfect that and to change that for over 40 years. It wasn't working. And they realized that they needed a broader group to try and help them, and that's one of the reasons why they came to the union. The union brings to the table the power of 13 million union members under the umbrella of the AFL-CIO. And so we can open doors, we can talk to legislators, we can try and, you know, convince them of the right thing to do. And, Mike, we came so close to getting this Title 19 passed. Just by a smidge. And part of it was that we were working in conjunction with the National Podiatric Medical Association, the APMA. And they were very good, but they were hooked into a situation where the ground shifted. They went to Senator Jim Bunning, former Yankee pitcher. Some of the New York listeners would know him. As a sponsor, you know, of the Title 19. But what happened was when Obama got elected, you know, in 08 and then 09, the Democratic Congress, it was difficult for Bunning's amendment and support of that to get through, even though we almost did it, because he was opposed to the health care bill altogether. So he was going to vote no. So it was very hard for the Democrats to give him the amendment that he was sponsoring if he was going to vote no on the final bill, which actually happened. Despite that, Senator Schumer came to bat. Senator Schumer and OPIU have been great friends for many, many years. Senator Gillibrand as well now is on our issues. And Senator Schumer is passionate about seeing Title 19 passed. We got it passed in the House. I'm sure everyone in podiatry is aware that Congresswoman DeGette from Colorado sponsored the bill, and we got it all the way through that whole difficult process of 9 to 10 months getting the Affordable Health Care Act bill passed. And podiatry Title 19 was in that bill, and it passed. Senator Schumer's strategy was that he was going to support it when it came into the House-Senate conference. Even though it was a bunning, he was going to, on his own, say, I want this, and since he has so much influence in the Democratic Party, he was going to get it. Part of the problem was the House-Senate conference never took place. You may recall that we lost the election in Massachusetts. We lost the 60 votes we needed to block a filibuster, so President Obama and the administration had to go to a reconciliation process, which only required a majority, and that's how they got the health care bill passed. But there was no conference, so it wasn't in the Senate bill, and therefore, you know, it didn't make it. But we're back at it. We have a new lobbyist, Glenn Roselli, out of California, very knowledgeable, working with the APMA. We've had meetings with the APMA, and we're committed to making sure that Title 19 is eventually passed. And anyone that observed what we just went through would understand that the APMA, whether it's the national or the state organization, is not enough power to get this done. We need the entire AFL-CIO behind us to get this done.
That's the bigger picture issue as well, in terms of all the non-traditional unions that are under the umbrella of OPEIU. We've learned, and this has certainly been a rocky road for us, those of us that are in podiatry leadership, and I've always been accused of wearing two hats. You know, I'm a podiatrist, I'm a past president of the New York Association, but, you know, you always talk OPEIU, you're always talking union, you're always talking labor. I said, well, this is a tool that didn't exist previously.
That's right.
This is a resource that wasn't around before 1995. This is a resource that perhaps initially may have scared our national organization because they might have thought, wow, you know, organized labor is looking to take over, you know, what we're doing in the national and the state level. Maybe even there's some fears at the state level that, you know, what is this relationship? Why do we need that? Well, you just said the answer is that because when we go to Washington representing podiatry, we represent 13,000 doctors of podiatric medicine across the country. We have a very good pack, a political action campaign, maybe $700,000-$800,000. It doesn't go very far in Washington. You need a lot more money. And with the money buys the influence, and certainly when you represent, what, 13 million people, it's a whole lot different than 13,000 podiatrists.
Yes.
And that's the lesson that we've been trying to teach our members,
yes,
that this is a resource that comes to us without a whole lot of money that we need to buy in, with wonderful programs for our members to save them essentially their dues money, and to give us a friend that we can call and say, hey, we've got a problem. You and I spoke earlier about the New York situation.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll mention that in a little while. You know,
yeah,
there's things we need, and, you know, yeah, we're diligent. We're good at going to Albany, but we don't represent that many people.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Mike. And the most important thing to remember is that it's not just the money, because the unions will never, ever be able to outspend industry. In the last election, for example, unions were outspent 20 to 1. And yet, we deliver votes for the candidates that support working people, whether Democratic or Republican. I'm just completely amazed when I think back in the Gore race in 2000 against George Bush, the unions delivered 47% of the vote in Michigan for Al Gore. 25% of every vote in the national elections for vote Clinton and Gore in the Democratic candidate, 25% comes out of a union household. So it's not just money. What it is we got boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We've got workers that are willing to go out and work hard for their cause. If you look at what's happening out in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, here you have...
Let me get the station break out of the way.
Okay.
I don't want to come back to it. That's a good one. Don't go away. We're going to talk about Wisconsin. 651-1110. If you've got any kind of questions about organized labor, be happy to answer them. Don't go away.
Runny, stuffy nose, itchy, watery eyes, irritated skin, or problems breathing. Any of this sound miserably familiar? You may just have allergies. Get relief from Dr. Beth Louie at Warwick Allergy. Dr. Beth Louie helps people of all ages control their allergies and asthma. As a board-certified allergist and immunologist with more than 25 years of experience, Dr. Louie has the medical knowledge to correctly diagnose and prescribe the best allergy treatment, whether it be seasonal, sinusitis, food, drug, or skin-related. Dr. Beth Louie uses state-of-the-art testing, and she also gives the professional, personal, caring treatment you deserve from your healthcare provider. The office of Warwick Allergy is located at 8 Forrester Avenue in Warwick. Call 986-5352 for an appointment today. That's 986-5352. Visit www.warwickallergy.com for further information.
Hi, I'm Karen Wade. As a mom and school teacher, life moves pretty fast. It wasn't long ago that I couldn't bear the pain of simply putting on my shoes, let alone trying to keep up with my class of fourth graders. So I turned to Orange Regional Medical Center and found the right advice and the right team for my total hip replacement surgery.
Don't let hip, back, knee, or other orthopedic pain slow you down. Orange Regional's comprehensive bone and joint program can help. Trained at some of the nation's most renowned medical centers, our team of expert physicians specialize in orthopedic surgery and advanced therapies.
From patient education to surgery and rehab, Orange Regional put me back in front of the class.
To learn more about Orange Regional's bone and joint program, call 1-888-321-ORMC. That's 1-888-321-6762. Or visit ormcspineortho.org.
The amazing feats of Guru Shoes. Big shoes, small shoes, what do you wanna do, shoes? The hardest thing is how do you choose? The amazing feats of Guru Shoes.
Did you know that feet change? And so does your shoe size. The width, the size, the shape of your foot is unique only to you, just like a fingerprint. That's why the amazing people at Gru Shoes are trained to fit shoes to feet. They measure your feet and evaluate which quality shoe is best for you. Gru's is a true family shoe store with an amazing selection of styles, brands, and sizes for men, for women, and children. But one of the most amazing feats at Gru Shoes is the people that help you. Gru's fits your family.
We fit your family and we fit you too. The amazing feats of Gru Shoes.
Gru Shoes, Shutton Road in Middletown, right next to Price Chopper.
Hello, this is Steve Newhouse. Join me on Thursdays from 1 to 2, where we talk about government, politics, and community events, and we interview local newsmakers. If it's affecting your life, we're talking about it on WTBQ. Radio worth listening to.
WTBQ weather.
We've got a cold start. Watch for some slippery spots out there. A lingering flurry or sprinkle this morning. Maybe a patch of freezing rain. But otherwise, just mainly cloudy skies today, which will gradually brighten late in the afternoon. Highs will only reach 35 to 40 today. A deep freeze tonight. Watch for any leftover slushy or wet areas to freeze as we dip to around 15 to 20. Now, Friday will be partly to mostly sunny, but cold, 35 to 40. Clear tomorrow night, back in the teens, and Saturday, mostly sunny, the high 35 to 40 degrees. It clouds up Sunday, and believe it or not, there's another chance of snow late Sunday. I'm meteorologist Frank Lombardo in the WTBQ Weather Center.
WTBQ. Welcome back to the Thursday edition of the Roundtable. Dr. Mike Wadka, we do health matters on Thursday. My guest is my good buddy Mike Goodwin, the international president of the Office and Professional Employees International Union. We talked about how the podiatrist became part of your family. Before we go to the Wisconsin story, you've got, I don't know how many locals, and what is the broad range of the people you represent? I know us podiatrists are just one little piece of what you got going on.
Well, that's right. We have 108,000 members across the United States, and they're organized into 104 local unions or guilds. And as you know, your guild for podiatry is Guild 45. But we also have other guilds of professionals, such as the Acupuncturist Guild 62. We have the Clinical Social Workers, which are Guild 49. We have appraisers. We have Guild 4 down in Texas for chiropractors. We have Guild 10 up in Washington State for chiropractors. So the union has a very broad base of representing professionals in every walk of life. For example, New York City. We represent 3,500 Catholic teachers who are employed by the schools of the Archdiocese of New York, which is just a wonderful group, and we're always fighting and defending our teachers. We also have helicopter pilots down in the Gulf of Mexico. Our pilots, 3,000 of those, they deliver the supplies and personnel out to the platforms back and forth. And we also have a huge unit of 1,000 helicopter pilots out of Denver, which operate in 37 states, which is the Air Medical, which pick up people who are injured on the highways.
Taxi drivers in Nevada?
Taxi drivers in Nevada as well, yes.
I'm thinking about the people, the Hawaii nurses.
The Hawaii nurses affiliated
with us. Great bunch of ladies, my goodness.
4,000 nurses in Hawaii, and boy, does our staff love that one, because they're all clamoring for an assignment out there.
It was great. We were backstage. We were about to go on with Dr. Mariachi when the helicopter pilot fainted at the podium. And we were wearing our white jackets. We were going to go up, you know, as part of the white jacket, part of the union. Boy, those nurses, they just plowed us over. They were up there. I think they were up there before the guy hit the podium, you know,
before
he went down.
And just as a follow-up of that story, Mike, because of the union and because of our affiliation and engagement of flight surgeons, normally, when something like that happens to a pilot, of course, the company doesn't want someone flying.
Sure.
That could possibly happen to. But he was back to work within a week.
Really?
Yes. Normally, a helicopter pilot who doesn't have the access to the union and to all of its knowledge of this may lose a license for 3 to 6 months.
Wow. And that's 3 to 6 months of lost income.
Lost income. So we were able to use the union mechanism to get the flight surgeon physicians in. And when they realized that it was simply a case of dehydration, and then he was hydrated, that he was fine, and there was no risk at all for him to continue flying, and he went right back to work.
So what a great story. It's a great thing that he did by passing out that morning.
Well, we love it because I have the transcript of that convention, you know, and his last words were, "I'm a man of few words," and then collapsed.
But, you know, when I go to the meetings, it's all the people that I'm with, okay? And I said to you off air, I've been a better person, and I've been a better human being since I've been a union member, because it opened my eyes up to the different people that are my brothers and sisters, and we're all concerned about their wages. I mean, I'm not working on a line like those folks. I'm not flying a helicopter. I'm not driving a taxi, but I'm treating human beings who might be doing all that. I'm treating union members.
Well, that's right, and you see it firsthand because, to a large extent, you service the Medicare population, Medicaid population. And these are folks that, you know, are not, you know, rich people. They're not millionaires. And you can see the struggle that they go through each and every day. And in terms of you, a better person, I've always felt you always been a great person because you've been so active. If I were to give out an award or to identify any podiatrist who had the most enthusiasm and dedication to advancing the profession, it would be you, Mike. I mean, you've been just great over the years.
Well, I thank you for that. But it's been the tutelage of you and the union and the people I've worked with that have made me realize I want to keep on spreading this message because there are so many people out there that don't have benefits. Yes. You know, good segue to what you can talk about, but I want to get to that in a minute. Let's go back to Wisconsin for a moment. I got an email, it was on a Thursday from you, and you invited all of your officers of all of your 104 guilds, if they were interested, to get on a plane and go out to Wisconsin on your nickel, not on my nickel, to go out there and stand side by side with their brothers and sisters in Wisconsin. And you probably sent that invitation out to 1,000 people.
Yes.
I mean, that's just incredible, an incredible show of solidarity. I know that's a word that we use a lot on our mailings and all that, but that's that invitation showed me this is not just a word, this is a concept you live by and sleep with.
Well, that's exactly right, and basically it's the workers' nickel, not necessarily the unions, because they put the dues there to begin with. But my feeling as the leader of the group was that this is a real turning point for labor out in Wisconsin. We cannot let Governor Walker get away with this. It reminds me so much of the PATCO situation in 1981 when the air traffic controllers had a strike and President Reagan told them, everybody get back to work or you're fired. And by the way, they were kind of misled into that because Reagan actually was supported in the election by the air traffic controllers, and he told them when he spoke to them that if I'm elected president, I understand your problems and I'll work with you. And so they just didn't take seriously, you know, the threat that they would be fired. They couldn't believe that that would take place. And of
good
course,
point. Good point to be made, though. Here was a Republican president being sponsored by a union.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's right. And so Wisconsin was so important because, you know, the governors in the Midwest talking about, well, this is about budget. This is about the budget. And that public workers, you know, have a better deal than workers in the private sector. That turned out to be a false argument because the public employee unions, I'm talking about the, you know, the teachers and the people that work for the state government, agreed that they would pay a whatever he wanted. He wanted a portion of employee contributions for the health plan, and he wanted contributions to the pension plan. Even though the pension plan was 100% funded, he still wanted these contributions just to make an issue out of it.
And they were willing to negotiate on that.
And they agreed to it.
Sure.
They agreed to it.
That's what a lot of people didn't hear out of this story.
A lot of people didn't hear that. They agreed to every proposal the governor made on health care and pension. But yet he continued to say it's budget. They eliminated the budget argument. And then we saw that the mask came off. The mask came off when the Democrats ran to Illinois to block, you know, for the vote going forward. They figured out a maneuver where they really wanted to eliminate collective bargaining. They separated it out, and they just voted to eliminate collective bargaining for public employees. An update on that for your listeners is that the court has now ruled that they're going to put a stay on that law to eliminate collective bargaining. It was supposed to take effect in April, but there's a stay on it now because they didn't follow the proper procedures, public notice, discussion. You know, there's a way you get legislation. You don't get legislation passed in the middle of the night, you know, without any public input.
What's fair is fair.
Yeah, so the workers, if you look at the workers, yes, we did invite all 104 local unions to send representatives. We got a bus. I don't know if you've seen the bus.
I did.
You did see the bus?
I saw that picture.
Yeah, we wrapped a bus in the OPIU logo, but the most important thing is on the bus it says, this is what democracy looks like. And I actually visited with the workers out there in Madison, and you know, I'd like to bring you with me, you know, on the next trip out. If it's still going on, hopefully we'll get it resolved. But if it's still going on, because the feeling of solidarity of those folks in the middle of that beautiful, beautiful Capitol building, kind of taking over the building and saying, we say no. We don't agree with what you're doing. We say no. You got to do something else. And we had thousands of people, hundreds of thousands, that actually visited right through that Capitol. It was just a wonderful feeling for democracy. It was like Egypt 2.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that. This is what's happening all over the Middle East right now. People are realizing they've got a voice that needs to be heard. The picture of that bus was amazing. Not only the words you had on it, but the photograph, okay? How you did that, you know, on the side of that bus with a lot of our sisters and brothers wearing their OPIU hats, you know, out there, you know, doing something for people that they don't know.
Well,
what a great concept.
I don't know how close you looked at that picture. Mike, that's a picture of about 1,000 people with me and two of our vice presidents from the Midwest standing on a bench in front of the headquarters of the Koch brothers, rallying against their involvement in the politics out there.
I didn't see that closely. It was a small picture that Nicole sent out. But you know, everyone has heard about unions and strikes and job actions. How many people have ever walked a picket line? Up until this summer, I was one that had never done that before. Yeah. But this summer in Washington, I joined my brothers and sisters. We had the big inflatable rat. We were in Washington, D.C. Of course, you couldn't have picked a hotter day, my friend. But we were picketing the offices of the American Red Cross that day. And it was amazing seeing people from all walks of life. And, you know, none of us work for the Red Cross. None of us were living in D.C. But these are union brethren and sisters who are having some problems with organized labor. And we're out there to just get some attention to this fight. That's what it's about.
Yeah, that's what it's about. Everybody working together. And the American Red Cross is another issue. You know, they appear to come to the aid, like, for example, in Japan now, asking for that that texting number where you contribute $10, and they care about everybody in the world, and they do help. There's no question. It's a very valuable organization. but they need to take care of their own employees as well. And, you know, they've been giving the union employees a very hard time over the last couple of years. And we wanted to let them know, if you recall, Mike, that building is probably a prettier building than the White House.
I mean, oh, that was gorgeous.
It's, you know, and they're living in, to use the term, a lap of luxury there in that building.
It wasn't on Pennsylvania Avenue. What street was it on? But it was right by a park. It was a gorgeous place, hot day. All the security guards out there watching us, you know, and just it was a very peaceful, kind of loud little demonstration there. But it really made you understand that, you know, there are people out there that are not enjoying the rights that everyone else should enjoy. We talked about the shirtwaist fire and how the organized labor movement has come about. It's people caring about other people.
Yes. Well, you know, 127 women lost their lives jumping out of the sixth-floor building down on Green Street in Manhattan near NYU because the employer locked the doors and didn't want anyone to go out for, you know, a smoke break or a coffee break or whatever. He locked them in. So when the fire occurred, there was no way for them to get out. They just jumped to their deaths. They were just plopping on the sidewalk right there on Green Street. And the police and firemen were unable to help because in those days, Mike, the ladders didn't go up that high. They couldn't even reach them with a fire ladder that you have today. And so out of that tragedy, workers were able to make some sense with the legislature and passed safety rules. You know, on you can't lock workers into a room. You have to have ladders that reach, and so many other, you know, safety and health issues. That was really the birth of a lot of our safety and health rules came out of that terrible, terrible day. We're going to be celebrating the 100th anniversary of that tomorrow. So any of your listeners that want to join us down on Green Street at 12 noon, right near NYU, please do and pay respect to those women who lost their lives as workers.
What a wonderful thing to do. Let's talk briefly about this program, and I'm just intrigued by what's going on over here. I know about the benefits you provide to your members. We as a guild, we have a lot of the benefits of membership. We've got a wonderful perks card that we have. We've got a towing package. We've got life insurance. Wonderful things. When I go out and I try to educate my members about why we joined the guild, you know, well, here's this political animal that we didn't have an ability to deal with before. Not only that, we go to Central Labor Council meetings. We are there with all the other local unions, all the other local union representatives. I love going because they say, Doc, what are you doing here? And again, I tell the story over and over again and always have my union cards with the bug on it. And it's like, you know, everybody's got a foot problem. I've told my guys that. Go to these meetings. Bring your cards. You know, you're gonna meet potential patients because, you know, whether it's a steam fitter or the plumber, the taxi driver, a lot of these folks, they're standing on their feet all day long.
Well, that's right. And I want to take this opportunity, Mike, to thank you and the podiatrists who have offered to take care of, for example, workers that would be walking on a picket line.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yes.
You have offered to take care of those striking workers free of charge. When you mentioned not many union members get a chance to...
I got to throw a funny one in there. Even our friend Dr. Mariachi made the news because he made a statement that, you know, if the NFL goes on strike, we'll take care of all of them for you.
Well, that's
charge.
Right. He made that offer.
So, wait, John, what are you talking about? These guys got some bucks, but they're union members.
They're union members,
and it's we think about them differently, but they're going through a typical union situation.
Well, they're part of the AFL-CIO, and I recall I was actually picking out in front of Giant Stadium. In the 80s when they had their lockout, when the industry locked them out, and we were picketing. But you mentioned the not many union members have a chance to picket like you did in front of the American Red Cross. When it comes to strikes, you know, that's one of the big bogeys, you know, boogeymen that people are so afraid of. You know, less than 1% of all workers in America ever are involved in a strike. Less
really?
Than 1%, yes.
I never knew that number.
That's the number. 99% of all of our collective bargaining agreements are settled peaceably by discussions and negotiation with the employer. And it's not always adversarial. Many of our employers, we have thousands of collective bargaining agreements, you know, work with us every day to try and reach a fair agreement in terms of what they can afford to do. You know, we want them to succeed as a business people. We don't want them to go out of business.
Absolutely.
You know, we want
them to
succeed.
We don't need more unemployed people in this country.
No. If the employers succeed, we succeed too. We just want to grow along with them. And we just don't want any gouging where workers are exploited in the face of profits that are there to be shared with the workers.
That's a good point. I'm glad you made that, Mike.
Yeah.
You've got an associate membership. We got about seven more minutes to talk about.
Yes. We've engaged in an associate membership program now where we're going to be offer, you know, workers in general. Right now, the route to a union is through your workplace where you have to form a collective bargaining unit or through independent contractors such as yourself through their association. Mm-hmm. We think there's a third pathway to union membership, and that's just direct affiliation by an individual member. And so we developed a program to try and address the question that everyone seems to ask is, what's in it for me? And we've developed an associate membership program where we provide a series of benefits for them at a price that just is unbelievable. Mike, we charge $1 a week for this, and anybody can join. $1 a week. And what you get for $1 a week is healthcare access to providers who have agreed to take, you know, a certain a fixed rate, dental access to networks where you get the deep discounts, pharmaceutical, eyeglasses. You get the towing benefit that you mentioned. You know, it's the same as AAA, which is worth over $100 a year in itself. We have accidental death and dismemberment insurance. We have a national discount card. And we're just trying to use the power of the union to negotiate these benefits at a very reduced rate so we can charge $52 a year and provide people with benefits that would cost them $500-$600 if they went out to buy those benefits on their own. So it's just another way of assisting workers in dealing with all the problems that they're facing. And we're finding people signing up every day. This is a very successful program, and we have a lot of energetic plans going forward to make this program grow and succeed. And we think that there are millions of workers that would be attracted to something like this, because when they go out to the marketplace to buy as an individual, you know, the product they might be buying, you know, like take the auto club. The auto club charges $100 a year for that. Well, you can get it as part of your dollar a week over here, along with a million other things, because we use the power of the numbers of people in the union to negotiate those rates way down to almost 10 cents on a dollar.
Yeah, so you've told me about these programs. It's been amazing. The perks card you mentioned, the discount buying card, for no other reason, when I go on there, I buy movie tickets.
Yes.
Why do I want to spend $9 or $10 at a movie? I go online, I buy a bunch at $6, and I use them wherever, whenever, and it's like right off the bat, you know, if I go to the movies four times a month.
Yes.
You know, for my wife and I, we just saved all that. And that's an incredible incredible program. I just saw that today. I know as part of my union membership, I have access to all of those services. But that's just truly incredible that you're offering that. And you mentioned that you're also going to be doing something going toward employers as well?
Yes. And small employers, you know, the Affordable Health Care Act, what is referred to as the Obama Health Care Plan, it kicks in 2014, but it excludes any employee with less than 50 employees. So if you're a small employer, small businessman with less than 50 employees, this is the program for you, because in 2014, 32 million people are going to be added to the National Health Care Plan, but you're going to be left out. You're going to be among that group of people that are left out. And so there needs to be a place for them to go to have something to provide for their employees. The problem is they were left out because they can't afford to pay $12,000 a year for health insurance. So we've developed this health access plan where we can provide very deep discounts along with all the benefits I just mentioned for small employers. So any small employer, someone has 8, 9, 10 employees, can enroll in this program and pay the dollar a week on behalf of all the employees, and will even allow the employer himself and his family, usually it's just one or two people who are running the business, to come in as residual associate members also. So, you know, because they can't buy insurance for one person. You know, they get mm-hmm. killed in the marketplace.
Sure.
But by doing it this way, it's affordable. You know, when you figure $52, you get 10 employees, it's $500 a year, and your employees, including yourself, have something. It's better than, much better than nothing, but you have all of these deep discounts, and so therefore you're saving money. Every little bit helps, because every worker working for a small business on a paycheck, it's very difficult to make ends meet. And we're trying to help them cope with all of that. I mean, if you can save, like you said, you went with your wife to the movies, save, $5 or $6 each. Mm-hmm. Well, I had six children, and I always had at least two with me, and sometimes they're friends. Mm-hmm. So I saved almost $100 a month when I was going to the movies on a regular basis just by using this vehicle. And the dining program is outstanding, too. For every once in a while, when a union member wants to just take a break, go out and treat himself to something, can't afford it because it's too expensive, you can get a dining certificate through this for $7 for $25 worth of dining. And I use it all the time. In New York City, right around the union office, and it's throughout the state, there are 1,000 restaurants that'll take that $25 dining certificate for $7.
Can't beat that deal.
No.
Can't beat that deal. When is that program going to be rolled out, Mike?
Well, we rolled it out already in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And it's available right now. So any of your listeners that want to call Office of Professional Employees at 212-675-3210 can get more information about the program and be happy to send it out to any individual who's interested.
Good. You gave me a press release on it. We'll talk more about that. Absolutely.
Yes.
I wanted to thank you. This has certainly been something, when we talked about this a couple months ago, I said, I can't believe I never asked Mike to come up. I figured you're such a busy guy. But I did want to get you on. I did want to talk about this, you know, and just get people educated that unions are not what you think they might have been. And certainly, you know, you're talking about a buck a day for some kind of a coverage that people don't have. Okay. And I know your passion. Your passion is for the workers out there. When I see you bring a new bunch of people to the table and you talk with pride, and when I see your writings, you know, you talk about the podiatrist you represent, I know it's just not words coming out of you, it's actions. And I talked to you, I said, Mike, we need this. We got to make this happen. And you take out your pen, and I know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's just been a wonderful, wonderful relationship. I look forward to continuing it, you know, as we continue spreading the word of the good things that can happen. Hey, we know we got problems in this country. What's going on in Wisconsin? The assault in the middle class. We need more people like you looking over our shoulders, looking out, covering our backs.
Well, it's not only me, Mike. I want to thank you for the work you're doing in providing this voice. Because we need more of it. As you recall, Stephanie Miller was at our convention.
Oh, my goodness.
And she has asked the union to collaborate with her to try and develop, you know, her airwaves further out on a national basis. And so anytime that we can talk on the radio, and we wouldn't be able to do it without people like you.
Why don't you take out your pen? Why don't you hook me up with Stephanie Miller, get me on her show? And she was at our meeting, and she broke her ankle. So, oh, my God, you know, we were there, the podiatrist. We formed a great relationship. What station is she on right now? I don't even know.
Well, she's actually out in California.
Okay.
She's in Chicago, and she's in San Francisco area. And
she's
wants,
a dynamo.
She,
wants
to broaden the, she did it. I should send you a tape of the show she did, which we talked about podiatry, about 15 minutes in that broken foot.
Please do. Please
yeah.
do. Thank you again. I'd love to do this again. I know you've got a Warwick connection here, so whenever you're going to be up, let me know. We'll do
well,
this again.
I just wanted to say hello to my friends, the Stockmans, right here around the corner.
Right around the street in Akron.
Vic and Meredith and, Meredith and Madeline, and we come to Warwick all the time. I look forward to coming back.
Good shout-out. Thank you again. I want to let you know that next week my guest is my buddy, Dr. Viral Jeff. We're going to be talking about your heart, your ticker, and what he does as a cardiologist to keep you healthy. Make sure next week you don't miss us, and every week, Thursday is 9 o'clock in the morning. Health matters. You know why? Your well-being depends on being well-informed. Hey, thanks for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Honey, can you grab that box for me?
Sure.
Oh, you're back again.
And my neck.
You have to go see a doctor.
Well, you know how hard it is for me to take a day off of work and go to the city for an appointment. And what if I need surgery?
But we don't have to go.